what the actuals have been the last few years.
The so again, the winter salt, I guess includes sand and salt. Last year was 1.5 million. So through the chair, how much did we? And this might be the accounting staff. How much did we budget this year for the same category, sand and salt? Do you recall or?
Through the chair, the sand and salt actual in 2017 was 1.2 million, and we had budgeted 680,000 for that, and we have budgeted now $1 million flat in 2019 for sand and salt. Over the last about 5 years, we have seen that the actual cost for sand and salt has been higher than budgeted. In my understanding, through discussion with Director Horvath, is that we looked at it again this year to try and bring the budget in line with the actual averages, and with climate change being what it is and the cost of salt, it had been a while since we had looked at the budget for that.
Okay, so I guess my other question is the accounting staff or the CAO looking at this at all, or not? Like, I'm just questioning. You know, if it's that much over budget, does it attract any attention? That's all. In terms of, are we? I don't know. It's so much over the prediction that.
Through the chair, I'll respond by saying yes, but not just this particular item in the budget, Mr. Pin was looking at making sure, or trying to adjust some of the budget numbers to bring them more in line with actuals. And this is probably the biggest one. And I think the budget report specifically identified that this was an adjustment. In the past, I think we've tried to find a way to cover the cost overruns relative to budget. And it was felt that the more appropriate approach from an accounting standpoint was to actually have the budget reflect far more accurately what we perceive to be the actuals. So I'm sorry, I can't remember the actual adjustment, but I believe it was 300,000 more as compared to what had been budgeted for several years prior to 2019.
So does this include the purchase of brine, this category? So
I don't know the answer to that question.
Yes.
Well, so personally, like, I think that might be part of what's driving this. Like, personally, I don't think that's a great use of our money to be putting brine down. But again, I'm always told the opposite. But, you know, just personally observe that brine goes down, and then 2 days later, there's a big snowstorm. So what was the point, you know? That's all. Like, so maybe we need to take a close look at, are we really... And I assume, the other thing is, I assume that some of this brine is going down. We're paying overtime. So... you know, so we're seeing this large increase in this line item here, and I just question whether how much we're spending on brine and whether that's really money well spent. Because the other thing is, what's the point of just doing some of the roads on with brine and some not? You know, so I just, you know, I see this going up astronomically, and maybe we need to take a close look at. Are we really getting, you know, value for putting brine down? Now, I assume the answer will be, well, we have to do it, but, you know, there's a lot of communities that don't, that, you know, do they really see a change in the accidents or something? I don't know, but it just concerns me when you see these kind of numbers that, you know, especially when we budget 1.7 million and it comes in at 2.3 million, so... Especially when I'm getting missives from, you know, about other areas of our budget where we didn't maybe spend enough money, and that's all. So I think we need to look at this because, you know, I know winter maintenance is a big issue, concern, but we also, you know, have to be careful about how we do spend the money, that's all. Thanks.
If I may, Mr. Chair, is that I just want to respond to Councillor Neal's concern. I know him and I have had this conversation. I'm not going to get into debating what's good and bad about Brian at this point in time, but I just want to reassure you that when we put Brian down, we have seven people that we shift through the winter, not on a regular 7-to-3 shift. They're scheduled 24 hours a day. They're scheduled 7 days a week. So the individual or individuals that are assigned the afternoon shifts are the ones that are putting down the brine most of the time, and it's not at overtime, it's at regular rates. We have the opportunity, as council is aware, to schedule staff 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and again, as I said, we have seven people that are on that shift, potentially going up to 9 for next year's winter.
If I can, Mr. Pinn had something to add to the discussion too. I missed him in the conversation.
Thank you, through the chair. As part of the process for the 2019 budget, we did go through this expense, but as well, we did go through areas of revenue which had been coming in better than budget, and we did move that revenue target for budget for 2019 up as well. So to Mr. Allison's point, and we'll do that again in 2020, we are looking at, on both ends, on the revenue and the expense side, trying to be more realistic with our budgets so that there is more of a correlation between the budget and the actual.
Thank you, Mr. Pinn. Mayor Foster, you have something?
Well, thank you. I just make an observation. If we look at page 50 of the report, 2018 we had 73 call-outs versus 55 call-outs in 2017. That's a 30-some-odd percent increase. And we've got a 30% some odd increase if we go from 1.7 to 2.3. So the numbers line up. I don't have a calculator here, but the numbers line up pretty effectively. But Mr. Horvath, and I know we've had this discussion, but you know I guess the question's asked if we're getting value for the dollar by putting a brine down. I know you just opted not to have, but we're in open public session, and I think you've been asked that 3 or 4 times. So I think we should afford you the opportunity to share your thoughts.
Through the chair to Mayor Foster, I can tell you from the trial period that we did in 2012 or 2013 till today, that we wouldn't have vehicles moving up on King Street West or on Longworth because brine's not down. Brine gives us that extra tool in the toolbox to allow us to. So the surface doesn't, snow doesn't bond to road surface. So it gives us that little breathing space that we require. We do it on high traffic volume roads to give us that break. It has proven to be effective. I don't disagree that, you know, we continue to look at that. There are other options out there that are more expensive and have different effects. Like there's a beet juice out there that is more expensive, but also discolors pavement and sidewalks and everything else. So we continue to look at other methods, but at this point in time, it is important for us to have that as part of our maintenance program.
Mr. Horvath, we haven't done this forever, is, you know, on the brine, would you describe this as a, you know, is it an increased level of service? It's helping you guys out a bit, and, you know, if that's the case, can we split out the cost? I don't know that we want to go backwards and be less effective, but.
Can you ask that question again? Sorry.
Well, so can you split out the cost of the brine? Is that doable? And then it's all about level of service. You know, we're spending X number of dollars to create blank. So if the snow clearing is going to be less effective, at the end of the day, council can make a decision to reduce that budget. But we are also, if I'm hearing you correctly, we're also going to reduce our level of service. And it is a balancing act. How much does one cost versus what we're getting on the other side?
So I believe we can break that cost out and share that information. Number two, I just want to go back to what the CAO and the Director of Finance has said. For years, we've asked for an increase to this budget to reflect the actuals. For years. And for years, because of the fact is that council of the day wants to make sure that the budget comes in at a reasonable number, winter stays the same. And we never know what we're going to experience when the budget notes are submitted. And November, December, last year we got lucky. November, December, we didn't see much of winter. January the 19th, 2019, we saw what winter could really look like and that impact. So we can do that, Mr. Mayor.
So you'd like us to keep that in mind when we're doing the 2020 budget? Is that what I just heard? I'm going to take that as a tacit yes, of course.
I think this year is going to be really interesting.
So on that was my next question is, you know, if you tried to try to make a guess as to where we are so far this year, I know you don't have the numbers in front of you, but you know, 19 could be nasty, yes?
I think as of today, we're at 56 responses. And March was the busiest month we've ever had in the last 7 years. January and February are pretty close. So normally you would have 15 to 20 responses in November and December. So if that's the case, you will beat 73 that we had in 2018.
So if we're at 56 and 17, we are 55 total. Thank you for that good news, and a happy Easter to you too, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Motion for a second time around.
Motion for a second time around, second by Councilor Jones, all in support. That's carried. Councilor Neal.
So through the chair, I was wondering if it'd be possible to get what the material and labor costs were for 2014 and 2016, like prior to the next council meeting, just by way of memo or something. Is that possible?
I will do my best. I'll work with the
finance. It's more of a finance question, so I saw a nod over to your left, Mr. Chair. So,
thank you.
For Mr. Pins.
I'll take back my nod.
Okay. Okay. And I guess I'm not sure. It seems to me that where the winter budget ended up often determined, you know, where we stood at the end of the year in terms of 2018, whether we put money into the stabilization fund or money came out of it. But is that, through the chair, is that something that Mr. Pinn can comment on at this point, or should I ask that during finance? Like, where did we end up in 2018?
Through the chair, for the 2018 surplus, it's still a little early for that because we were delayed with some, as council's aware, some changes in personnel in finance, so we've been a little delayed on finalizing our surplus position. We will be likely in a surplus, despite the fact that we were over budget in winter control, because we were also over budget in investment income of about the same amount. So finance is helping out operations by making prudent investments of the municipal funds, so we should be okay.
All right, thank you.
Anything further in regards to this? I just have one question in regards to, and I don't think anybody touched on this this morning. We've had a lot of increased development, and when you sit down to do your budget, do you take into consideration all these new developments that's gone? I don't know if we've discussed this before, but.
Councillor Hooper, yes, we do, because of the fact is that we have to take a look at our routes, and we want to make sure that the routes are effective enough to get the job done and not carry over to another day. So we struggle with that, and it's almost an annual, more than an annual basis that we're reviewing that, as we're reviewing four routes, as I spoke during budget deliberations on right now, trying to see how we can make them more effective in terms of meeting our goals.
Thank you. So on that, I'll call the question. All in support of the report? Opposed? And that's carried. Thank you very much. Now moving on to operations report number OPD-005-19, the Orono Cemetery Board. Can I have somebody move that, please? Yes, right. Thank you, Madam Clerk, for reminding me of that. There's two suggestions here. I think council is aware of it. I think it's up on the screen. And it's an either or. And so if somebody wants to move the Councillor's Ward.
I'll move option number one.
That'd be A?
Option A.
Right. Okay.
A and B.
A and B. Yeah. I have a seconder for that. Councillor Jones. I'll call the question. Or do you want to speak to it? Sorry. Thank you.
So when the applications went out for board members, were they aware that they had to be right holders?
Through the chair to Councillor Swart. I'm not sure of that, but they all made mention of it on their application, and maybe the clerks can add to that. But I believe several of them indicated that on the forms back to us.
Through the chair, yes, we included that on the application form and they checked it off.
So according to the report, then none of the residents who offered to be on the board are allowed to be on the board, correct?
That's based on, through the chair to Councillor, that's based on what the current rules are of the Orono Cemetery Company. And to my knowledge, according to the recent chair, that only right owners have been on that board in the past.
Anything further, Councillor?
I just feel it's unfortunate that we went out to the public to get volunteers to sit on the board, and now we're saying that none of these residents actually qualify to be on the board.
Councillor, we're saying that in the body of the report based on the current rules. If council decides to take option two, or the B part of it, is the fact is that we can make those changes and move forward with it. So right now, we're just bringing forward in terms of what the current practice has been in accordance with the rules that have been approved by the Bereavement Authority of Ontario.
Mayor Foster.
Thank you. So Mr. Horvath, there's, I mean, we've got the rules, but the rules really aren't, if I understand the report correctly, the rules are not an impediment from these individuals to stepping up. If we go with option B, the folks that have opted to volunteer can in fact fulfill their duties, no?
Mr. Mayor, that's correct. I think the only thing you would do is if you took option B, you would agree with the recommendations that are here. The Orono Cemetery Board continue to assume all responsibility relating to da-da-da-da. You'd also pass another part to that that would say that the municipality approves the Orono Cemetery Board to carry on as an independent operator, which is our responsibilities under the Act.
So, for a committee, my preference, we've been having a hard time getting volunteers. We've got perhaps a technicality. You know, we do have a group of individuals who have stepped up, and it's a technicality that we can waive. I would think that option B is perhaps the better of the two.
Okay, Mr. McIver, I understand you might have something you want to add to this.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and through you, and I hope the director and the clerk won't mind if I'm just adding a little context here. The Orono Cemetery Company, and also known as the Orono Cemetery Board, is a bit of an oddity in that the corporate structure of the Orono Cemetery Company persists. Although it files its own corporate returns, it's federally incorporated. Really, that is nothing to do with the municipality. As far as the municipality is concerned, they're a board of council. They are performing certain duties on a volunteer basis that otherwise municipal staff would have to perform. But there is that unique historical anomaly here.
Thank you very much for your input, Mr. McIver. Councillor Ward, you want to wrap up or?
I do, and we're not called the village.
Councillor Neal, sorry.
So
So the report talks about the Orono Cemetery Board, but then it is also mention of the Orono Cemetery Company. So are they one and the same, the board and the company, through the chair?
Yes.
So it's just another way of referring to this company. So how can we dissolve a company?
Counselor. In 2005, the Council of the Day approved the Orono Cemetery Company as a board of council.
But we can't dissolve a company that we don't, like, I assume it has members or something as a nonprofit, so wouldn't they have to dissolve it? No.
You directed that to Mr. Graber?
Through the chair, we as the municipality can't dissolve the corporation, but we can remove all of its authority by dissolving the board, and they can decide at that point whether there's any purpose for that company to exist anymore.
So through the chair to Councillor's work, are there enough volunteers that aren't burial right holders that would be prepared to carry on if, in her view, or not?
Through Councillor Hooper to Councillor Deal, there was four individuals that submitted their resumes as per the request. There is supposed to be one other one that we have not received with, so there's five.
So what's wrong with, to Mayor Foster's point, what's wrong with them having them continue on if there are volunteers?
That is your option too up there.
So I'm a bit confused because the letter says from the two that signed it that said there's not enough volunteers. So the two individuals that signed the letter at page 58, so I'm a little confused, maybe. Is there volunteers or not?
So Councillor Neal, the board meeting of October, they decided that because they couldn't fill the board and other reasons in terms of legislative responsibilities and all that, they made a motion to request the transfer of the cemetery. Councillor Swart brought up in December to let's go out for advertising and see if there are interested bodies. Okay. And that's what happened. So the five individuals have no relationship or had a relationship with the board in the past. So they're new people from the community. Longtime residents, I should say, but so.
Okay. So I guess to the mover, to the chair, which do you think is the best option? I don't know. Go with the volunteers or have the municipality take it over?
Do I get to speak?
Yeah. Trying to pose a question to you through the chair.
Okay, I think I'd like to withdraw my motion and go with option B. And to the solicitor's point about the oddity, we're not called the Village with a Difference for nothing.
Seconded by Councillor Foster, Mayor Foster, sorry. Okay, heard the new motion, so all in support. Anybody want to discuss? Sorry. Okay. If I can just ask somebody who would like to take a 5-minute break for, you know, would somebody like to move a 5-minute break for a short time? Councillor Neal? Seconder? Mayor Foster? All in support? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll call the meeting back to order. It's a long 5 minutes. I have to find someone to fix my watch. No, I'm just kidding. Anyways, it was for Councillor Jones. I was doing that. Okay, so I understand there might be further refinements to the motion, maybe?
So if my previous motion has been withdrawn, I will make a new motion that we go with the second number two item on there and number three and remove the word company from behind Orono Cemetery.
I have a seconder, that Mayor Foster. Okay. Everybody, any comments, questions? Okay, I just have one question if I can ask. I don't want to confuse it. So if this passes and goes through, at some point, if there's an issue in regards to the board, they could still come back and dissolve that and move forward with the first, correct?
At any time if the board decides that They cannot maintain the cemetery in accordance with the regulation. They would make that request to the municipality, and the municipality would consider the options again.
Perfect. Thank you. With that, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that's carried. Thank you. Any further questions of the operations director? That being none, that concludes the operations. Oh, sorry.
I was asking during the break about tendering of the salt or sand contract, and I noticed that there's also a trucking company. Are they, what do we purchase from them as well as?
They're probably the company that we get for trucking the material. Is that, you can show me that and I'll just verify that.
Sir, I guess I'm not sure. Am I allowed to ask questions about a specific company, Madam Clerk, through the chair, or not? When we're in open session.
If it's about a company, I don't know what the specifics are that you're asking.
Just what do they do for us?
Through the chair, that's fine. Just about service that they're providing.
Okay, so yeah. Glen Windrum Trucking, are they? Do they?
So they'll be the trucking company that brings the material to us.
Okay, and then Vidcom Sand and Gravel, what do they sell us, sand?
Sand, right? Yes.
Vicdom, okay. So when's the last time that was tendered out, or Vicdom?
To the best of my knowledge, Councillor, 2 years ago, but I can verify that.
And Innovative Surface Solutions?
Would be your brine.
That's the brine. Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
Nothing else? That concludes the operations portion of the agenda. Moving on. Thank you.
Just in case anybody hasn't got a ticket for the raffle for Wednesday's hockey game, there might be 10 to 15 tickets left. And you have to look at the first game last Thursday. That's what we're selling the tickets based on.
So we are now in the clerk's department, clerk's report of the agenda, and we have CLD-011-19, which is the appointments to various boards and committees, 2019 to 2022. And there's one report. Mayor Foster and seconder for that, to put it on the floor. Councillor Neal. And I believe that we need to do, there was no applications for the Kawartha Conservation Authority, none for the Newcastle Arena Board, none for the Newcastle Village Community Hall Board, but for the Public Library Board, we will do a vote. And we will also do one for the tourism. So I'm also looking, we could get a motion to amend, and we could appoint the two applicants for the Tourism Board, if someone would like to do that, Mayor Foster, and seconded by Councillor Hooper. All in favor? And that carries. And that's on the main motion. So we'll vote on the, in their question or comments?
My question pertains to item number 3, the Conservation Authority, Kawartha. Can I ask it now? Is this on the floor now?
I think so, yeah.
So is it considered that we have insufficient regional representation on this council? Item 3.3.
Through the chair, at the time that council made the appointments early in the term, Councillor Hooper was appointed in the absence of a regional councillor being appointed.
Okay, but it states that unless the municipality has insufficient regional council representation, does that?
Correct, that was before council at the time, and council elected to appoint Councillor Hooper.
Councillor Hooper?
Since we're on that topic, can I make a suggestion that I will remain as the representative for the remainder of the term, if that's possible?
So we would make that as an amendment to the main motion?
And you don't have to worry about, please. Thank you.
Okay. Do we need a seconder for that?
But just, Madam Clerk, for clarity, we were doing the tourism, yes? Are we in the right spot and the right place?
Through the chair. Tourism, the main motion's on the floor, and that is just to deal with the report. It was amended to appoint the two tourism applicants. That passed. This is a subsequent amendment that Councillor Hooper remain appointed for the remainder of
so the term. I should not have drawn this discussion out in case he changes his mind.
So I'll call the question on the amendment for Councillor Hooper to be on the COURTHA board. All in favor? Opposed? That carries.
Thank you, Rod.
So, and now we'll call the question on the, unless, was there any comments or questions on the main motion?
I think we're voting.
Okay, I'm calling the question on the main motion. All in favor?
Through the chair, the motion before you states that the vote will be conducted. Once that's passed, you will actually conduct the vote.
So I'm calling the question on the main motion. All in favor? Opposed? And that carries. Now we'll do the vote. Yes, Councillor.
So I think there's a typo in our agenda as to Marina Ross. And are there any of these applicants that already serve on boards?
Through the chair, Councillor Jones is saying that she believes one of them is on the museum board. I would require a recess in order to go and research our directory of each board. I don't have that information on the top of my head.
So who is the member that is on a board?
I'm just going by memory from what I was reading, but I think, you know, I can probably look it up. I believe that Marina Ross is on the museum board.
Is there a counselor here that's on the museum board that can confirm that?
Yep. Yes.
Any other questions?
Hanging
pay the votes for the appointment to the Public Library Board. Marina Ross, that was Mayor Foster. Councillor Hooper, Jacob Vandershee. Councillor Neal, Marina Ross. Councillor Zwart, Donald McKenzie. And Councillor Jones, Marina Ross. And Marina Ross achieved a majority and therefore is appointed.
Three or five.
Are there any questions for the clerk today? Mayor Foster?
Thank you. Madam Clerk, and we chatted about this a bit earlier, can you speak to the, there are some concerns with the public around the OSCPA not being able to lay charges around animal cruelty. The province, I guess the courts made that decision, and how that shortfall is going to be addressed.
Through the chair, yes. I had requested that the Supervisor of Animal Services provide information to members of council, and as best as I can remember, all that she had included in that. Suffice to say, staff are monitoring this situation quite closely. As it stands right now, under the current legislation, our municipal law enforcement officers do not have the authority to enforce cruelty under that piece of legislation. We do have some basic care measures that are included in our responsible pet owner bylaw, but the responsible pet owner bylaw deals with cats and dogs. So the responsibility as we understand it right now, if the SPCA is not doing the enforcement would be undertaken by DRPS. One more thing added to their plate. Staff from Animal Services and Municipal Law Enforcement have joined a group of animal and enforcement related organizations across the province to try and wrap their minds around how this may impact each of our municipalities. There's specific training that the SPCA officers had in determining animal cruelty when they were doing their investigations, and there's concern that that training will be lost. So as it stands right now, it's going to not land on our laps. We also understand that OMAFRA will be dealing with complaints with respect to livestock. We don't have anything concrete right now, but I can tell you it's not landing on our doorstep at this time.
Madam Clerk, thank you. And if I may, a second question. In the recent budget, the province is going to allow municipalities to decide on tailgating and alcohol consumption on municipal properties. I guess, do you have a knee-jerk opinion?
Through the chair, yes. My knee-jerk opinion would be probably consistent with the Director of Operations and Community Services, and that would be no. But we've not discussed the matter here. It would require us to look at our current bylaws and determine whether or not we're going to be able to maintain the status quo here in Clarington, or whether we have a choice in that regard.
So a question on that. So again, if there are any charges to be laid, I would think anything criminal would be DRPS. So how would enforcement, we've got the anti-nuisance, which I guess is possible, but how would you see that rolling out?
Through the chair, if it's provincial legislation and it's a criminal offense, it would be DRPS. The challenge is it's our property. And, you know, many years ago, we had certain parks that were, for lack of a better term, an attractive nuisance for youth. You'll recall there was one that was completely hidden. And bylaw enforcement did work with DRPS in doing what we used to call a blitz. And, you know, I'm sure staff will be working with DRPS and the other area municipalities in trying to navigate through this new situation that we may face.
Right, and I believe we will have to, I'm going to say opt in, you know, to use the other ledge, but it's something that we'll have to look at. Madam Clerk, thank you. Madam Chair, thank you.
Councilor Hooper had a question.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, and through you to the clerk. It's in regards to accessibility parking stickers, and can you just give me a heads up or let me know, if you have a parking sticker for accessible on your dash, does that allow you to park free at any of our meters?
Through the chair, no, it does not. To the best of my knowledge, I don't believe so. We have designated accessible parking spaces, and those spaces would be free. I'll have to check the bylaw, but I do not believe so.
I understand, like the bulk of them are right out here in front of the municipality, but within the downtown core, unfortunately, there's none. So I just thought, if there isn't that, I just wonder if we would ever entertain the motion that, you know, to instead of making it all, you know, putting in one or two spaces, that as long as somebody has a bona fide, paid up, you know, accessibility sticker, that they would be allowed to park at a, you know, at a meter, complimentary. That's all. And I've had a lot of people, veterans and things like that, have asked me that. So I don't know what to answer, how to answer that appropriately. So I've kind of sort of pushed it on to you to get the answer.
Thank you. Through the chair, I think it's also important to differentiate between veterans and accessible passes.
No, I didn't say anything about veterans. I said accessibility.
Okay.
Because that's another discussion.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll look into that.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Any other questions for the clerk today? No? Okay, that concludes the clerk's department's portion of the agenda.
Apparently, it's all about finance today. We have a couple of reports here. The first report is FND-008-19. This is the building permit fee report. If I could have a mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Hooper and Councillor Jones. Thank you. Questions, comments? Councillor Neal.
Yeah, through the chair, what is the reserve fund used for?
Through the chair, the building permit fees are a user-based fee, and they have to be used for provision of inspection services. So when the building industry comes in, gets their permit, those funds go into the reserve fund, and they're used to fund expenses for our building inspectors and any cost to provide that inspection service.
Just to follow that up, so there's a balance in there of like $3.5 million. So does that mean, like, how's that money actually going to get spent out of there at some point? Like, in other words, you can't transfer it to pay for something else, right? Like, it has to be building permit related or?
Correct. It has, through the chair, it has to be used for providing services for building inspection. So one of the items is the replacement of our land and building permit software system that they use to track building permits and inspections, which is LDO, and that's scheduled for this year. So there is going to be a transfer of about $1 million for that software replacement. as well. I also have to keep in mind that the building permits paid this year may actually be funding inspection-related costs in 2020, 2021, as long as the building permit's still outstanding. So if the if there was no more building permit revenue coming in this year, we have to be able to pay our building inspectors to complete those inspections. So it is used to fund those costs. There may be years, I believe it was 2009, although I stand to be corrected because I wasn't here, where there was a dip in the building permits. So it is used to kind of insulate from any dip in building permit revenue.
So through the chair, why don't we just take a million, now that we've got an extra 900,000 for the reserve, why aren't we taking an extra 500,000 to fully fund the LDO replacement?
Through the chair, I can only, whatever percentage of the LDO replacement is related to building is what I can use the building reserve fund for. So there are going to be other departments such as clerks with municipal law enforcement, fire, that piggyback on this system because there's property-related data there. If it was 25% or 30% related to fire, I can't use the whole building reserve fund to fund the whole thing because it has to be building related. So even though building department might be the main user of the system, they're not the only user, so I can only proportionately use those funds.
Okay, thank you.
Anything further on that report? Call the question, all in support? Opposed? That is carried, thank you. The next report is FND-009-19. This is the Alexicon intercreditor agreement. I could have a mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Neal, seconded by Councillor Jones. Questions, comments? Councillor Neal.
So who is, I really haven't heard, but who's the CEO of Alexicon Corp? Is that not listed on here?
Her name eludes me. I'm sorry. I would have had it 2 minutes ago. I'll get it to you.
And is that, so energy is,
Energy is the poles and wires. Group is James Dara. Group is the affiliates, and Corp is Corp.
So there's three different CEOs now?
No, Corp does not have a CEO.
Corp doesn't have a CEO.
No, Corp is oversight. Where rubber hits the road are the affiliates and poles and wires.
Okay. Not strictly related to the report, but I was hoping at some point we'd hear some, like, 2018 results or something, or not sure how that's going to get publicized amongst us. But
and I'm sorry, what kind of results are you looking for?
2018.
Financial?
Yeah. Okay.
Through the chair.
I thought you were telling me there was two of them.
No, sorry. Through the chair, I have the final financial statements for Viridian. I can forward that to council.
All right, do you have anything on that? Have they announced energy? That's group. That's group. Sorry. No. Yes. Leslie. Yeah, I can't work my last name.
Through the chair, sorry, to Councillor Neal's previous question, the CEO of energy is Leslie Gallinger.
You take a look at her resume. It's a pretty impressive resume. All right, anything further on that? Call the question, all in support? Opposed? That is carried, thank you. The next is FND-010-19. This is the strategic asset management policy. If I could have a mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Hooper, seconded by Councillor Jouart. Questions or comments on that? We are on the asset management policy. Go ahead.
So as far as I can see here, it's just really setting dates. It's pretty general.
It's a plan.
Is there anything buried in here that ties our hands in terms of, you will spend, $3 million on
brine.
On assets. If you don't, you get a cigarette in the eye. Okay,
I don't get the reference.
through the chair, the dates in the report are mainly because this is regulated now. We do have certain obligations, the first one being the policy. The policy does not set any spending targets or anything like that. It is fairly laid out from the province as far as what must be included in the policy. The main thing is that it articulates that council must approve the asset management plan in the future, as well as eventually when we get there, the financing strategy and report on an annual basis on the state of the assets. The asset management plan must also be publicly available on the website, and it also spells out the fact that the CAO of the municipality is the executive lead, which is a position that the province wants articulated.
Go ahead, Councillor.
Follow it up. So I see like there's like a 10-year, 10 years comes up quite a bit. So is that saying that every asset must be replaced in 10 years type of thing?
Through your worship, no.
No?
The 10 years is the planning horizon for the plan. So the plan must take into effect at least 10 years. So as opposed to a 5-year capital plan, the asset management plan must be at least 10 years. Many municipalities are looking at a longer time frame because buildings, certain fleet, certain equipment have a lifespan of 20 years or so. So some municipalities are looking at an even longer asset management plan.
All right, do we have anything further on that? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in support, opposed, that is carried. So the next is FND-011-19. This is the gift agreement with the Bowmanville Hospital. Oh, thank you, Councillor Jones. Your interest is noted. A mover and a seconder. Councillor Neal, seconded by Councillor Schwart. Questions or comments? Call the question. All in support. Opposed. That is carried. Do we have any questions for Mr. Pinn? Thank you, Councillor Jones. We're just seeing if there are questions for Mr. Pinn. No, we're good. So I think there were a couple of items, Councillor Neal, that you wanted to go on camera to speak to. So might I have a motion under 239? Oh. All right, so if I had a motion in accordance with Section 239(2) of the Municipal Act 2001 as amended, the meeting be closed for the purpose of discussing the following two matters. One is a matter that deals with advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege, including communications necessary for that purpose, and the update is negotiations on labor relations or employee negotiations. By Councillor Neal, seconded by Councillor Jones. All in support, opposed, carried. We are perfect. So please arise and report two items were discussed in closed session in accordance with Section 239(2) of the Municipal Act 2001 as amended. One resolution was passed on a procedural matter. We have no, do we have any new business? Anything that we haven't dealt with? Item 20? No. 21, unfinished business, we don't have any. 22, confidential reports, we don't have any. 23 is required. Councillor Hooper.
We're so fast, and because of my cold, I wasn't paying attention. Under new business consideration, I did have something I just wanted to sort of float out there. If I could.
Well, it depends on what you're floating and how you're floating it, but go ahead and give it a shot.
Okay. I was able to get my paper on time this past week in regards to the Orono Times, and there was an article in there that's very disturbing in some respects, And it's in regards to transportation. And I'm sorry, Councillor Zord, I'm bringing this up, but I met at a function that I attended on the weekend. And in regards to transportation and what we don't provide for those people out there, I think it's very disturbing that regional transportation, I mean, it's all well and good. Everything seems to be going west, and I've always complained about, you know, the Pulse system in Ajax and Pickering and blah, 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 and all that. We don't seem to be looking after our rural residents that well. And in regards to Orono, the situation out there and what they're going through now, I think that perhaps that, you know, a little bit of pressure from regional representation to Durham Region Transit, you know, this is a serious issue. Those people have no way of getting around out there. And, you know, and I understand where they're coming from. It was a great article in the paper, I must say, too. And I feel sorry for them, and I'm just floating that out there. So if anyone is speaking at region in regards to transportation, you know, please look at our rural residents and what can be done there, either through Uber or some sort of, so they can make the connection to our transportation system. I just, you know, just a thought. Thank you.
Right. Anything further? So, Councillor Hooper, on that, region staff are looking into a variety of solutions. The problem with the bus, of course, is, you know, you see these things going with a very limited number of people, and it all comes down to affordability. So it's frustrating. If it's frustrating for us, I believe the numbers are still accurate that Uxbridge, on a per household basis, pays more for transit than anywhere else in Durham Region. And they would love to have the service that we get. So it's, you know, it's just the cost of getting that. And so your point of looking at Uber, Lyft, a couple of other municipalities have done exactly that. And there have been some changes around, you know, smaller buses, different service provisions. So that is being looked at, and I'm certain that Councillor Neil Anderson and myself will continue to bug Mr. Patterson about that.
And that's nice to hear. Thank you.
All righty. Good. All right. Last item. I thought we all liked each other that, you know, so much we were going to hang out a little bit more. That was seconded by Councillor Zord, I believe. All in support. Opposed? Carried. Thank you.